Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, thank you for joining me once again for the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, January 22. I seem to be stuck on one area here in the Baptist Church Covenant that we are examining, and that's the area of knowledge. In paragraph 2, the paragraph that describes the members' responsibilities to the church as an organization, which says, "We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of the church in knowledge." And this responsibility of members to strive for the advancement of the church in knowledge. Imagine that. Members having a responsibility for that. But of course, both members and preachers have a responsibility for that. That becomes a responsibility both of the pulpit and of the pew. And because of that, we have been examining 2 Timothy chapter 4, because this deals with this very matter of faithful pulpits versus unfaithful pulpits, faithful congregations versus unfaithful congregations. And you're not going to have a church that is strong and biblical and pleasing to the Lord unless you have both pulpit and pew that are eager to receive the Word of God. All of God's Word. The nice parts, the fun parts, you might call it, the encouraging parts, and the discouraging parts, the parts that build up and the parts that convict and rebuke and correct. We need it all. And we better desire it all. We better welcome it all. We better long for it all. We better encourage it all. We better request it all. Because it's very easy to slip into a style of ministry that trims the edges off of truth. Maybe a little bit at first, but of course when you start down that road, it's easy to keep going and go further and further and further until there's no recovery. And that's what Paul is describing when he says to Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." I heard someone describing recently a document which they read, put out by a major denomination, which I will not identify, which was examining the question of sexual morality as it applied to Christians today. And the whole document seemed to be searching for a new standard of morality in the light of the day in which we live. And rather than quoting the Bible, quoted all kinds of human experts, psychologists, and medical doctors, and so forth, in regard to questions like premarital sex, adulterous relationships, and other areas of sexual activity, whether those were permitted in our day or not, as if somehow the Bible has changed since society has changed. Well, there's no question that society has changed. I've seen it in my lifetime. I'm old enough now to have seen an incredible change. When I was a grade school boy in the 1950s, the world certainly wasn't a perfect place, but it was sure a whole lot different than it is now. I lived in a small Midwestern city, middle America, and I only had one friend in my neighborhood whose mother even worked outside the home. My mother didn't. Mothers were home, all over the neighborhood, taking care of their families and their children. Television was very primitive in those days. We didn't have one. But the kind of things you saw on television were programs like Howdy Doody Time. And I remember Howdy Doody and Buffalo Bob watching it at a friend's house. I was not forbidden to watch it. We just didn't have one in our home. I thought that was a wise decision by my parents. I didn't give it a lot of thought at the time. But later on, looking back, I thought that was a wise decision by my parents. It wasn't that they said that television was absolutely, necessarily sinful. It wasn't forbidden. We could go to friends' houses with permission and watch Howdy Doody and what else did we watch in those days? I can't remember now. But Sky King and The Lone Ranger were some programs that were on the air at that time. And that was pretty wholesome stuff. Nothing greatly uplifting about it, but nothing degrading about it at all. It was entertaining and nothing degrading. Nothing degrading, just good, clean entertainment. And in that day, adultery, premarital sex, was still considered wrong. It's not that it never happened. It did, of course. But everybody agreed that it was wrong. Nobody condoned it. Nobody excused it. Sometimes people slipped into it, and that was considered to be a great fall, like people getting drunk. You shouldn't do it. It does happen sometimes, but it's wrong. Everybody understands that it's wrong. You don't condone it. You don't excuse it. You don't encourage it. You don't justify it. It's wrong. It's wrong to have sex before marriage. It's wrong to have a sexual relationship with somebody other than your husband or wife. Homosexuality wasn't even mentioned. That wasn't even mentioned in polite society. That was completely behind closed doors. Yes, it went on, no doubt. I know it did, but it just was not mentioned because no sexual immorality was justified. Everybody agreed that it was wrong, that sexual relationships were for marriage, period. The whole society seemed to agree on that. That's what the teachers at the school agreed on. That's what the neighborhood agreed on. That's what everybody agreed on. Well, that sure has changed, hasn't it? And so the question that this Christian denomination was wrestling with was, what should be our standard of sexual morality for our church in light of these changing mores in society? Society doesn't agree that premarital sex is wrong. Hardly anybody thinks that anymore. Hardly anybody thinks there's anything wrong with people living together before they get married. In fact, it seems like the majority of people in our day actually recommend it. I've heard this said, you don't buy a car without trying it out. You don't marry somebody without trying them out. Oh, my. All kinds of justifications we have for an entirely different standard of morality. But the sad thing is, you're not surprised that that has happened in the world. What really was probably surprising was that there was a time in this country when it seemed like the world at large accepted biblical standards. That really was rather unusual. We didn't know it. We didn't realize that was unusual. But now, as we see what society is like as a whole, when we see what it's like today, and when we realize what society has generally been like down through history, when we get a broader perspective, we realize that really was a very unusual rarity to have a society where the secular mores reflected biblical standards. But the sad thing is that as the world has become the world, as the world has rejected biblical standards and adopted worldly standards, surprise, surprise, as people who don't call themselves Christians have said, we're not going to be bound by the Bible. We're not going to live by these Christian standards. We're going to make our own new standards. We are going to have sexual freedom. Well, that's not surprising for unsaved people. It shouldn't surprise us when the world is acting like the world. When unconverted people are acting like unconverted people, when sinners are acting like sinners. I mean, I'm saying all this, of course, from a Christian perspective, but this is what Christians understand from the Bible. Christians understand that unconverted people don't have any desire to live according to God's morality. In fact, they want to throw that yoke off. But what is surprising and what is sad is that the church would follow the world instead of listening to God. But of course, that's exactly what Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, talking about the church, people in the church, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You say, what is a fable? Well, a fable is anything which is not true. You say, well, what is truth? Well, the Bible answers that for us. God's word is truth. Now, Christians understand that, or should, or supposed to. Christians believe that, or should, they're supposed to. Christians are people, are supposed to be people, who are committed to the proposition that God is the source of truth, that whatever God says is true. And therefore, the Bible is the standard of truth. And therefore, when it comes to sexual morality, and when it comes to every area of life, but when it comes to the area of sexual morality, we go to the Bible to find out what is true and what is false. And when the Bible says that sexual activity outside of marriage is wrong, then that settles it for the Christian, or should. It's wrong because the Bible says so. It's wrong because God says so. But the time will come when they, the church, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, Adamic desires, fleshly desires, will heap up for themselves teachers and turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so when you do that, of course, you have to justify it. And that's where the fables come in. If you won't accept the Bible as God's word, then you have to accept something else in its place. If you are going to overturn what the Bible says, then you've got to have a rationale for it. And so Dr. So-and-so says this. Professor So-and-so says that. Reverend So-and-so says this. And so one by one, you look to human sources and you say, well, this is the new truth. No, it's not. That's a fable. That's not true. There is no new truth. God's word is the unchanging truth. It is the never-changing standard of truth. I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change. His truth doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word does not change, has not changed, will not change, and therefore God's people need to commit themselves to God's word as being the truth that guides our lives. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.